This is a great time when we celebrate Jesus Christ's death. You can't celebrate the resurrection without going to the cross. And this is when we celebrate that time. But he's alive. He's alive. Jesus is alive. The atheist and the agnostic want to deny that possibility. The humanist and the philosophers scoff at the idea that is so unimaginable as somebody raising from the dead. In our liberal halls of education, they give every reason in the world why this is not feasible. But it's true. The grave is empty. Let's look into the Word of God and see what it has to say. Mark 16, verse 1. Saturday evening, I'm reading from the New Living. Saturday evening, when the Sabbath had ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, Salome went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. So very early on in the morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they were asking each other, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" But as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in white robes sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified? He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his bodies. Now go tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going on ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you before he died." The message of the angel was, he's alive. Say it, he's alive. He's not dead. He's not in the grave. He has risen. Now let's look at Luke 24, verse 13. The same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently?" As they walked along, they stopped short and sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopatra, said, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles. He was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group, his followers, were at the tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, the body was gone, just as they had said. So here are two of the followers of Jesus. They didn't recognize Jesus, but Jesus began to walk with them. They didn't recognize him, so he began to talk to them. And suddenly, they realized, this is Jesus. He's alive. You know, as we begin to see and look at this, The central truth is that of the Word of God is that Jesus rose from the dead. Everything that we believe revolves around Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Clarence Hall says, Easter says you can put the truth in the grave, but it won't stay there. You can nail it to the cross, wrap it in winding sheets, shut it up in a tomb, but it will rise. Today, as we look around the world, they're looking for hope. They're looking for help. And they see none. But they only have to look to Jesus Christ and see that there is hope, there's help, there's victory. You know, many times many people try to discount this great event, both historically and spiritually. It is the greatest event that's ever taken place. There are many, many infallible truths concerning the resurrection. Actually, Acts 1:3 says, to whom he also presented himself alive after suffering many, after his suffering, by many infallible truths, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom. The empty tomb is a proof of his resurrection. The stone being rolled away is a proof, because that was a very heavy stone that it took several to put in place. It was so heavy. How could a man on the inside remove the tomb, remove this, the stone? The angel's testimony, the nails in his holes, in his hands, and in his feet are the testimony as the disciples saw this. Some accuse the disciples of lying, saying, oh, they're just lying. Well, Peter Criff said, why would the apostles lie? Liars always lie for a selfish reason. If they lied, what was their motive? What did they get out of it? Well, if you look, you'll see what they got was misunderstanding, rejection, persecution, torture, martyrdom. That's hardly a list of perks. You know, if we had a time to do a complete defense, man, you can mention numerous, numerous things in the proof of God, of Christ raising from the dead. You know, a lot of people try to say it was a hoax and the greatest. Well, if it is a hoax, it's the greatest one that's ever been played on mankind. It is not. All evidence points to Jesus being raised from the dead. The great evangelist that we knew, Billy Graham, said this: there's more evidence that Jesus rose from the dead than there is that Julius Caesar ever lived, or that Alexander the Great died at age 33. Now, it has been noted by credible witnesses that Jesus is alive. We read already from Acts 1:3 where he appeared to the apostles time and time again. And then he, numerous appearances are recorded in all four of the Gospels. Let me mention at least 10 of them. To Mary Magdalene on that morning, Mark 16:9 through 11. To the women returning to the tomb on Matthew 28:8-10. To Peter in the afternoon after the resurrection, Luke 24:34. To the two disciples on Emmaus Road, Mark 16:12. To the disciples with Thomas absence, Mark 16:14. To the disciples with Thomas present, John 20:19-25. to the seven disciples by the Sea of Galilee, John 21:1-22. To the 500 brethren, to 1 Corinthians 15:6. To James, his brother, in 1 Corinthians 15:7. To the disciples at his ascension, Acts 1:3-12. And then we go to a Jewish historian by the name of Flavius Josephus. And this is what he says. Now there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man, for he was a doer of many wonderful works, a teacher of such as men receive truth with pleasure. He drew over to him both many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles. He was Christ. And when Pilate had seen, at the suggestion of the principal men among us, had condemned him to the cross, those that loved him at first did not forsake him. For he appeared to them alive again the third day, as divine prophets have foretold. And these 10,000 other wonderful things concerning him. That's from the Jewish historian Josephus. That's not even from the Word of God. That's from a history book. Today, many are wondering why Christ raised from the dead and why it's important for us. Well, let me tell you. One fellow put it like this, the author of The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah. The importance of all this cannot be equated, adequately expressed in words. A dead Christ might have been a great teacher, a wonder worker, remembered and loved. But only a risen and living Christ could be the Savior, the life, and the life giver. And as such, preached to all men. Without the resurrection, our faith would be in vain. Without the resurrection, we would have no hope. Without the resurrection, we can expect no help from God. The resurrection of Christ is essential to our Christianity. Josh McDowell says in his book, New Evidence That Demands a Verdict, the resurrection of Jesus Christ and Christianity stand or fall together. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the cornerstone in which all of our salvation and all of the things that God has for us comes from. That is our foundation. Without it, our house falls. But he's alive. He's alive. And whoever believes in him becomes alive. He says in Ephesians 2, but God is so rich in mercy, he loved us so much that even though we were dead in our sins, he gave us life when Christ raised from the dead. It is only God's grace that you've been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. We have life because of Christ. We are raised with Christ. We are seated with Christ. We have the same authority as Christ. We have the same standing with God as Christ. We have the same privileges with God as Christ. This is why it is important that we understand that he is alive, and without the resurrection, there will be no hope. Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal body by the same Spirit living within you. Our life comes from the life of God. Lee Strobel said, Jesus Christ did not come into this world to make bad people good. He came into this world to make dead people live. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, but now we are alive forevermore. Because he lives, we live also. We're talking about spiritual life. Jesus did not come to remodel. He came to make us brand new. He did not come to restore, but he came to recreate. You know, real quickly, I want to use the word alive, A-L-I-V-E. You know, around here we have everything named, you know, like RBC, Rhema Bible Church, right here. SDC 1, SDC 2 over there, Student Development Center. NRC, Nanowski Rec Center. You know, we got all kinds using the names of the using the letters. So here I'm going to use alive. A, adopted. We've been adopted into the family of God because Christ rose from the dead. We are loved unconditionally because he is willing to give his life on the cross and die, but he didn't stay there. He arose. We have been engrafted into the body of Christ because of his resurrection. V, victorious. We have victorious life because he's alive. He has been raised from the dead. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit because of his resurrection. Now the question for us is, have we received new life? Are we living the more abundant life? Are we living the victorious life? Are we living the triumphant life? We should be, because he arose. You know, I used to love that old song, he arose, I forgot how the rest of it goes. Victorious over the grave. I just like that part. He arose. I like that part. Huh?
Hallelujah, Christ arose.
Hallelujah, Christ arose. She got it. She knows all them songs. We celebrate the resurrection on Easter. But you know what? We should be celebrating the resurrection every day of our life. Leo Morris says, the cross is the victory, the resurrection is the triumph. The resurrection is the public display of the victory, the triumph of the crucified one. Because Christ is alive, I'm alive. Say it with me. Because Christ is alive, point to yourself. I'm alive. You got it. You got it. He arose triumphant from the grave. All of the other leaders of religious sect have a tomb that everybody goes to, and they have all kinds of worship going on. But I can take you to a tomb in the garden. Very close to the place of the skull, Calvary's Hill. At Calvary, he died. They took him down. They marched a little way with his body and put it in the tomb. The devil and all of the angels that he had taken out of heaven with him rejoiced with glee. But on that third day, they begin to cry and scream because he came out of the grave and defeated them. And because he defeated them, we are alive. And we live. Because he rose from the grave. The curtain in the temple where the power of God and the presence of God reside, it was torn from the top to the bottom. And God said, no longer will I live in a house of stone, but I will live in the house made of flesh. And Jesus Christ made that possible when he arose from the dead. And today we celebrate Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection. And we have no greater way of celebrating that than with this table that sits here in front of us, called the communion table. Because that table, without saying one word, speaks of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And he said, as long as you do this, do in remembrance of me. And we're going to partake in just a moment of these emblems that represents his broken body and his shed blood. That represents our salvation. But without the empty tomb, these would be empty traditions. But it's not an empty tradition. Paul says, for I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord, on the same night in which he betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. He arose, but he said, I'm coming again. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment, if you happen to be in this place this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to know him so you can celebrate with us by taking of communion. If you know what it is to serve Christ, but you know you're not exactly where you need to be with God, and you need to rededicate your life, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Let me see your hand so that I may know, so that I can pray for you. Anywhere in this room, you need Christ, you need to rededicate your life. There's a hand over here. Thank you. You may be like one man. He said, he finally came from another hand. He came forward. He said, I've been going to church all my life, ever since I was a little boy. I can't remember not going to church. But I don't know if I ever publicly accepted him or not. So if that's your category, we want to minister to you. Upstairs, downstairs, any more hands be lifted? I think there's two or three that have already been lifted. I see another hand way in the back there. Praise the Lord. Are there others that would raise their hand? Everyone stand, please. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to step out now. I'll come down here. I want to shake your hand, and I want to pray with you just like I said I would. So come on right now. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, come on. Come on. This is your opportunity to change your life forever and become alive. So come on. If you raise your hand, come on. If you raise your hand, if you're in the balcony, the ushers will have to get down here. I know three hands were raised, I saw. So come on. Come on, man. It's a long walk, but it's well worth it. If you raise your hand, bless you, man. Bless you. Come on, I saw some more hands back over there. Come on. I saw some more hands back over there. Come on. Come on. Come on. This is your time. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. God bless you guys. Come on. I saw a hand back here in the back. Come on. Come on. Come on. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand. Come on now. This is your opportunity. I'm going to wait just a minute. If you want to come, come on now. Come on now. You guys, I'm going to pray with you here. Then I'll ask you to go to a place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually and in depth, okay? Make sure you get what you came for, okay? Would you just raise one hand like that toward heaven? Heavenly Father, we thank you for each of these that have come. Thank you, Father, that every spiritual need in their lives will be met tonight, today, in Jesus' name, amen.